Turn the remainder of the time over to Mitch Kesey, who's a missionary to Zambia. Happy to have him and his wife with us tonight on furlough, and we'll turn the remainder of the time over to you.
I'd like to thank you very much for your prayers over the last 17 years. Some of you have been praying for me or for our family that period of time. I'm sorry that our children are not here with us. I guess we're at that transition stage where our children are now, oldest is almost 19, and the next one is 17, and the youngest is 14, and all seem to have their own activities and things that they're doing, and so could not be here. Just continue to pray for them. It's always a transition time for mom and dad, too, to know exactly what to do and how to handle the different situations you get involved with. I'd like to encourage each one of you to continue doing what you're doing with the Sunday school work. I guess you're kind of surprised that I'm talking about that initially first, but Uncle Dave asked me tonight and said, well, how did you get started in the assembly? And I'm not going to go into that, but just in really quick brief, that's where I started, is someone invited me to the Sunday school picnic. And from there, I was saved in a Lutheran church, but it was a Sunday school picnic that someone invited me to. And I felt the love of the people there and started going on a Wednesday where they had the biggest group of people. The young people were more people on Wednesday than on Sunday. And that's how I started going. So those who are Sunday school teachers and working with the Sunday school, continue going, because you never know what little effort you put in and how it may come out, and whether good or bad of myself, but I thank the Lord for those who had put effort into my life. So I just like to look at a familiar passage. It's a very short passage. It's in Psalm 23. Probably most of you would not even need to turn to it. I would just like to read it and make a very brief comment and then look at the slides. Well, I shouldn't say slides, I guess it's PowerPoint. I'm trying to switch back to American standards here and all the new different ways. Let's just read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Some of you may kind of wonder why I'm reading this verse and going through. I think each one of us have different trials and things that we go involved with. This past year and a bit has been a very trying time for our family. I was involved in my son in a car accident. And there was other incidents that had happened throughout and could have turned very different in many different ways. And the Lord just undertook. But the first verse here we read, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And it reminds me of a little boy who was trying to do memory work. And he started off saying, the Lord is my shepherd. And he paused. So he started again, the Lord is my shepherd. So he started again, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he said, that's all I need. And he went and sat down. Now we laugh. But isn't that true? Isn't that all we need? Just the Lord. The verse says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But too many times, we have all the other things that we want. All the other things that add on. I think the little boy summed it up. That's all I need. Verse 2 and 3 says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He gives us a green, flourishing pasture to lie down so that we can restore our souls and come to the Lord and rest. The second part of verse 3 says, He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. In the past year, there has been many trials, as I've mentioned, and many different advice given by many different people, godly people, some ungodly as well. And I won't go into all that different advice that was given, but we decided to just rest on the Lord, and He intervened and ended up overruling an issue that could have been very, very serious for my son's part, and even on all the other different issues. So we're very thankful that He is the one that leadeth us in the path that we go, and that if we lean on Him, He will direct us and guide us. Verse 4 says, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. And that's true. When we're in the process of death and things happen before us, we have a rod and a staff guiding us, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's there leading us if we look to Him. And a verse that I guess I've read Psalms 23 and heard it many different times, but verse 5, I don't think I've ever really recognized the verse that how it's written there. It says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. You know, it's the Lord who prepares a table before me. That means He's going on before us. Sometimes I think we think that He's only there with us. But the Bible tells us that Thou preparest a table before me. That means somebody's gone ahead. He's ready for it. You know, when you're going to have visitors or have people over, you do a little preparation, you know, and the Lord prepares too. He has things ready for us. Isn't that wonderful that He goes before us and we don't have to worry? And then the second part of it says, Thou anointest my head with oil and my cup runneth over. You know, like I said, there's been very many different things that could have changed in a different way. But we're thankful to the Lord that we can say, My cup runneth over. The Lord intervened in all the different situations that we had in the past year, year and a half. And so it leads to verse 6. And it says, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that great that we have a place that we can know that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever? So when we're down, when we're discouraged, when we're depressed, we can say that there is a place that we can go and rest. But we got to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just going to read some other verses just really quick in Psalm 73. And from verse 23, Psalm 73 and verse 23, and it says, Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holded me with thy right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou shalt destroy them all of them that go a hoarding from thee. And in verse 28, But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord that I may desire I have put my trust, let me start again on verse 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Isn't that true? And the thing that I'm showing you tonight, the pictures, are not my work. I'm just one of the little instruments that the Lord has put there to plant seeds. But it's the Lord's work. And so I'd like to show some of the Lord's work. Some of the things that I'll show you today are not things that I'm necessarily involved with, but others as well in Zambia that are serving there as well. So we'll look at the pictures or slides at this time. But just in case. Come on. Okay. I think I've got it.
I'm not going to take a problem. Go into the world. Into all the world and preach the gospel and the good news. Zambia is where we're at, landlocked in Africa. See the star, the copper belt, Lusaka, is where the capital is, but we are in the northwest, Lilloma, and spent a bit of time also in the north part of the northwest at Sikeji School as well. Zambia. It's a very beautiful place. The things there you see, that is not clouds, that's actually the mist coming off, and it's from the Victoria Falls. They call it the smoke that thunders. Overview. Similar to the Niagara Falls, but a little different. Just some pictures of the scenery that you will see in the area. We call it the flame, Christmas flower, and it only comes out at Christmas time with the rain. The chameleon the Zambian people were very afraid of, as well as the blue-headed lizard. The superstition. Python, this one happened to be killed, was killed in at the boys, we were having boys camp, and came wandering through. Crocodiles are a problem. We find it an average of somewhere between 6 to 8, maybe even a dozen people in our area, just in our local area, get killed every year by crocodiles. Some of the animals that you would see in Africa, of course, in our area, being that there are people around, wherever there's people and there's animals, if they're edible, they get eaten. So if you want to see the animals, you have to go to the game park. And so some of these were taken, well, all of these were taken in the game park. But of course, as you see, the warthogs and children have the right of way. Sometimes the baboons think they have the right of way. This baboon was about 3/4 of my height, standing up. Animals are beautiful, but we're not there for the animals. We're there for the people. This is a typical village scene that you would find in Zambia. But we must remember that we're there to help the people. This picture, as you can see, is there's something wrong. It's an unequal yoke. And that's exactly why we're there, is to help people to come to know what they should believe. But as you travel, there's different ways of transporting the ways around. You could end up on the back, if you were a pig, on the back of a bicycle. Another way of transporting things or moving around is by foot. The ladies have a hard life in Zambia. It's a man's world. Different ways of transporting around, getting around. Sometimes the roads can be very treacherous. Here, this is the road going to Sakazi School. It's actually deep enough. We could have pulled our car in and covered it up. It was that deep. But the children were waiting anxiously, and a week later, the children were going to have their parents come and pick them up. So we had to get this road filled in. Sometimes the roads you go on, you wonder which ones you should travel on, if you should take it across here or take the bypass. And sometimes the bypasses are just as bad. This is an outing we went with David and Grace Crowder. This was a picnic that was supposed to be, and never ended up happening. You go across the bridge, come back, and it's not there. The rains can come that heavy. Yes, we still cross by pontoon. Okay, transportation. Back to transportation. Sometimes you don't know exactly how you're going to transport things around. And if you're in town, you may find that the loads are pretty heavily laden. And if you got a suitcase, you hope that your suitcase arrives. This is the vehicle that we traveled out to town on. It was one of the Christian brothers. Wanted to take us out, and we were very thankful. He made us sit in the front. He said, no, you can't sit in the back. You'll get all dirty and dusty. Then you get to ride on the bus as well. These people travel down to bring their stools and then our chairs, and then all the way 250 kilometers, about 75, 80, about 80 miles on bicycle. Local market that you would see in our area. You can't really see it, but the white building on the back says restaurant. Don't know if you want to eat there. This is some of the shops that you would have. We do actually eat in some of the restaurants. They're very good, actually. This is on our way out the day we were leaving. Now you can see our children. My youngest is on the left of me, or my right actually in that picture. And then my oldest on the other side. And then my middle one is Rochelle, and then my wife. Let's pray for our family. Like I said, it's a transition time to know exactly what to do. One's going to college, Another one soon to be going to college in a year, and the youngest hoping that he was in college and school was over. Yes, we do eat the local food. This is caterpillars. Actually quite nice. Not eaten raw, though. Actually, you may think it's funny, but on the day we were leaving, we asked, they said we wanted to have a farewell, so we said, fine, can we ask for one thing? And we said, yes. Could we have shima, or the mush, as they call it, because we won't have it for a while, and the kids really will miss it. And so we did. In fact, last night I had my aunt and uncle over, and that's what we cooked, was shima, Uncle David Logan, and he was very happy. Sometimes we adopt people that are a part of our family. Grandparents aren't there. This lady here was saved out of a drunken life, and she's just a wonderful Christian. Just as since we've been over here in the last 2 months, we found out that her husband had just passed away, but still going on well for the Lord. Sometimes we have nephews. This is the Beers, little boy, little girl. We enjoy interacting with the local people. Daniel here asking questions. The time for while we were waiting for Daniel to do some projects, he was up at Cicada School doing some work, trying to get the bats out of the ceiling. Shell spent some time down at Tokoloki doing some nursing. And Michael was doing some homeschooling and did some work in the garden. Children enjoy getting together with other children. It doesn't happen very often, and these are some of the other missionary kids on other mission stations. You have to travel about 100 miles to go to where there's other missionary children, and that's their home from school, so it's not an everyday thing. Of course, the children always enjoy being with the local people. Thankful to the Lord that our oldest son, Daniel, was baptized previously, and then our youngest one went on to follow the Lord and get baptized. And I had the joy of baptizing my daughter as well at Sikeji School in the river. Projects like carrying charcoal or molasses, as we call it, for heating our hot water or for cooking with. Sleepovers with your cousins. David and Grace Crowdis happened to come in from Malawi, and we were glad to see them when we were leaving to come to America and have a bit of a outing at a restaurant. Quite a treat. This is an overview of the Loma Mission. Kind of spread out. These are some of the missionaries that are there. I'll pick out the two ladies on the far left and right on either side. Marion Ronald and Daisy Hannah. They have both been out for about 30 years. They're nurses in the hospital. And behind Marion, the lady in the black, Julie Frank, is also a nurse and helping out. All three of them are from Canada, as well as the couple right next to them, Earl and Ann Austin. He does some of the helping out in different buildings in the short term there. And then you got Tim and Joy Beer in the front with the little baby. They're on furlough at this time. And then in the middle, in the green sweater, is Wilma Geddes from Ireland. He teaches in the school, as well as Tim Beer. Teaches in this school as well. There's a picture of Tim outside the school. Not a typical classroom that you would normally see over here. That's actually quite a good classroom. But pray for the sisters as they work, as we call them sisters, in the hospital. It's a very heavy load, 120 beds, 300 outpatients a day, and no doctor. Front of the hospital, TB ward, AIDS classroom, and counseling. Like I said, Marion not only is a nurse, but also does the administration, so she's got double work. And Daisy finds it very heavy with the load. But Julie is trying to carry some of the load, but it's very difficult for her. You know, she's young and it's a work that's been going on for a while and expanding, and it's very hard to fill the shoes of many others. We're thankful for the Christian helpers that we do have. A lot of our workers are believers. This one happens to be the one that works in the pharmacy. Another brother that's in the lab doing the testing with malaria. That is happens to be one of the biggest things that kills people is malaria. Another brother that I is a nurse, but also I enjoy going out in the village with, who recently is married and also within the last year and had a child. This is his father-in-law on the right, also an elder in the meeting, just a lovely Christian and a godly man. In the theater, as we call it, or notice in the back corner, you'll see a thing hanging there. It's where the children get weighed, check their scales. And they all sit there, and then they all push to try to get in, because everybody wants to go first. It's not orderly. We find it very surprising when we come over here and see how everybody waits in line. Well, people need the Lord. And it's always an opportunity to spread the gospel and tell them. This lady here is her grandmother taking care of twins that her mother, the mother died. Children's ward leads us to the maintenance. No, we did not repair this building. What we did to the building right next to it, it happened to be the church building, and we raised the roof. It was about ready to sink in as well. Different projects we get involved with. Of course, you don't go down and you have to make your blocks. No backhoes to dig it out. It's all done by hand. Thankful for the finished product. This man here came out from Lusaka. He was very thankful that they're building the slab and having a little more rooms, because his wife was one of the speakers at the conference, and she said, I don't like the holes in the tents that we're sleeping in. The snakes may come in. So you're not the only ones that are afraid of snakes. Fixing a submersible pump, or even just fixing hand pumps. Moving bricks to help either old people or needy people, just different ones to help them to build their houses. These little kids put bricks on their heads and carry them. It's amazing the size they are. Some of them put 2 and 3. This is parcels coming in. We're thankful for them. And then the containers get used to store other things to keep away from the ants, from eating things. This happened to be a container that was going to Julie Franks to put some of her things in. You have to store things up because you only get to go to town maybe once every 3 to 6 months. And if you forget your ketchup or something like that, well, then you do without it. Planks were made by hand. The guy on the bottom gets the dirty end of the stick, I guess. This is our lawnmowers. We actually were going to get a lawnmower, and they said, no, no, no. We want to keep slashing by hand. It gives us work so that we have some income. Some of the people I work with, and just pray for them. Most of them are believers and going on for the Lord. This brother and his wife, he's doing the maintenance work of the vehicles. They recently were married about 2 years ago, and now they have a child. And just pray for the young people, that they will grow up and continue to serve the Lord and not fall into witchcraft and other things. This is their wedding. I thought you would enjoy it. Jesus Christ is Lord, is what it says. Jesu Christi Diu Mata. That's Lunda. This brother here and his wife also been married for about 4 years, and when he first came to me, he was not a believer, and with the scriptures and different things, the Lord worked in his heart, and hearing scriptures and from other people, trusted the Lord, just really going on for the things of the Lord. Satan's always active, and wants to see the young people not follow the things of the Lord, but we're thankful for those who are spreading the word and going around, like this brother here, that goes out with us and helps us to go to different villages. We go every Monday and go door to door. Of course, there's the ladies' work. I miss my mother-in-law. It's on the left, Esther Howe, who's refocused down in Pittsfield Christian Village in North Carolina. Bible studies. People in your home. This is the custom. The young lady goes around and carries the water and has them wash their hands before they eat. You never know what you may run into. This is a conference. Seating is a little bit hard to find, even outside. But pray for the elders. They've got a very tough work ahead of them, and it's even the elders here. And but the Zambian people seems they always fall back into witchcraft. And this brother here was married for about 14 years, had no children. The relative said, "Divorce his wife. It's she can't have children. It's her fault." And he said, "No, I'm staying with her." After 14 years, he had his first child. Now he has. He has 7 now. Ways to go to the villages. Sometimes we preach under the trees. I had the privilege of going to Angola and teach the and help out some of the people, taking up corn and stuff for them. They literally were eating meat, wild meat and honey to keep alive. Sometimes we just call the kids together and they sit and listen to God's Word. Show a picture of these two brothers, both unmarried, finishing their schooling, and just really keen Christians. Just pray for the young people of Zambia. There's not a lot of things that they can do besides drinking, running around with other women, and different things like that that are very immoral. And Satan really pushes them to give up the things of the Lord and go into the world. English Gospel, taught every other Sunday in the school. Sunday school, this was one of the times afterwards the teachers were getting together. This year, for Sunday school, we have 500 children. This is the different things that go on at the camp that we have, different things that are taught. Make the mash, the shima. The men were there for making it this time because it was a boys' camp. Sometimes we have conferences, a work conference, just a work camp, so we can come there and work, and then they have times of ministry as well. Getting the camp ready for boys and girls camp. That was girls camp, this is boys. They sit very attentive and really listen. It's amazing, and they're always happy to show the things that they've learned, that they've got from the memory verses that they've said. I love to decorate their rooms or cabins. And the questions they come up with, it's amazing. But pray for the people of Loloma, for the girls and boys at the camps. that they will follow the Lord. Now to switch to a different area, a little north of us is the Casey School. This is in the classroom. The Casey School started off as a school for missionary children. Now it's probably 75% Zambian children that are there. You say, well, then they've lost the vision. No, they haven't lost the vision. It just means that there's more Zambian children getting heard God's word and going out into other areas of Zambia to preach the God's word as well. Many of the children go in to the school unsaved. They may have Christian parents, but when they hear the gospel at school, get saved, and then go home, and you find them in other parts as they're older, up in the government areas. People need the Lord, no matter where they are, like the President Manawasa, the one in the middle, the chief, who happens to know the Lord as his Savior, a local chief we have very good fellowship with, and we're thankful that he's is a believer. Sometimes the old people get to see them, and they know the Lord. This lady loves the Lord. The children need to know the Lord. Couples or singles. But children are the important part of the work. Sorry, somehow the picture didn't turn out right, but so that concludes our pictures for tonight.
Did we take 35 minutes, brother? Hope it wasn't that too quick.